broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, and to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers in the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. We reject revolution unless it's a Jesus revolution, then we're in. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a delightful weekend full of God, family, and country, and that you focused on the protection of life, liberty, and property. It is our quest. Now, two things happened. One, let's jump to the weekend first. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, with its 17 million member organization or church, if you will, celebrated what they call it an annual general conference, but it's semi-annual is when it happens. It happens in April and October, and it's basically about 10 hours of education about God and family and things that matter most in life, and prophets, seers, and revelators from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the 12 apostles, etc., deliver messages to the saints. And it was a great weekend full of just some unique topics and interesting. It's pretty similar to the way it always is. They talk about faith and hope and repentance and all the things of Christ. They talked about, you know, recalibrating your life and, you know, figuring out who you are and understanding, you know, what your life is about and how to treat those around you. And, you know, just good guidelines to follow the Prince of Peace, how to step back and de-escalate situations and, you know, contentions of the devil, and peace comes from keeping the commandments of God and all this kind of stuff, and that we're God's children, sons and daughters. And anyway, I thought it was very educational, a spiritual weekend for me, for sure. Dr. Bradley, do you want to speak on that at all?
Oh, I don't know as I've got much to add to that. I mean, it's just we always talk on this show about God, family, and country. One thing I'm rather disappointed about is that the cause of liberty seems to not be on the agenda during the conferences. And I just think that a lot more people need to start and recognize that if we don't have our liberty, if we can't worship our God, there's a whole bunch of other things. I mean, if you lose your liberty, you lose your ability to worship God. You lose your ability to support your family. You lose your ability to make life choices that are ennobling and elevating. And I just wish more people talked about the importance of maintaining, you know, the proper government. You know, the LDS Church has got scriptures that are absolutely, unequivocally, totally, and completely in support of the United States Constitution and the principles established as the nation was founded. And in fact, one of the scriptures goes so far as to say, whatsoever is more or less than the Constitution cometh of evil. And so there's a pretty strong endorsement of the cause of liberty scripturally. I just wish they'd sometimes bring it up a little bit and say, you know what, we got to watch the liberty cause, because I mean, again, you lose liberty, you're not going to be able to worship God. I mean, it just falls like dominoes. First thing to go may be the Second Amendment, but the second thing is going to be the ability to worship. So I'd like everybody, I mean, whether it's church leaders or people on the street or in education, I mean, talk about maintaining this great, this is a land of liberty. It's a gift from God, and we need to preserve it and quit taking it for granted. So, I don't know. I think you kind of capped off a pretty broad spectrum of things that they get reviewed each time they have a conference. But it's there's one always missing that bugs me. I mean, I guess I shouldn't.
Yeah,
I shouldn't focus on being bugged.
Well, I understand, and I think liberty is an incredible critical component. They did talk a lot about agency and the ability to choose, which I think is the core of religious liberty.
It is, but they only talk about It's only moral agency. If you don't have the ability to provide for your family, you're not going to have your moral agency either. Because you know what? If your family gets hungry, you'll do almost anything for anybody to get anything done. You look at how far people have fallen.
That's right.
It's more than That's moral for sure. agency. It's our political liberty. It's our liberty to choose a pathway as God's free children. And I think that nuanced twisting of that has caused a lot of people to forget so much hinges on this land of liberty. This is a light on the hill, or it was. The nation was a light on the hill. I mean, I think about how people held Americans in such high regard, and now we're kind of, you know, they spit a little bit before they say your name. I don't know. I think that we've
lost important, a lot. There's no doubt, and I think they should directly take on a lot of the topics of liberty as well. I think it would be, you know, to me, because I'm a liberty-minded American, it would be great. But I will say they do focus on a lot of the principles, and if those principles were obeyed, meaning the Ten Commandments, using your agency wisely and learning to be kind to others and set an example and follow Christ. And, you know, ultimately, if they were to do those things and be self-governed based on the commandments of God, you know, liberty to a great degree would take care of itself. So I'm not dismissing your point by any means, but I am saying, hey, compared to a lot of the messages in the world, there's a lot there to like.
Yeah, there is. But I'll tell you what, I think about, you know, what you say about obeying and, you know, choosing to do the right thing. Joseph Smith, the founder that established the church as it was established in 1830 as a actual official date of its origin, he said, teach correct principles and people will govern themselves. And I think that's what we try and do every time we get on the air, is we teach these correct principles. Now, admittedly, religions teach a lot of good, correct principles. But I know there have been religions throughout the world. Let's not just pick on one. Let's pick on gobs of them. I mean, in fact, most of them have become so, politically correct. I don't know. Maybe that's not the right term. But they become, so they duck and dodge about certain things to the point that you start to say, well, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, you know? I'd just like to see a backbone in everybody, every religious leader. Remember the Black Regiment? You don't remember it. I don't remember it. We weren't there, but those
No,
guys
but I've read about it, studied war. About it, and I think that's absolutely critical. And I wish that, you know, hey, a lot of these leaders and churches were like the Black Regiment. They were on fire with the preachings of liberty from the pulpit. And
absolutely.
Then they basically stepped down from the pulpit, and they would do their very best to take action to make sure we really had liberty. It wasn't just platitudes from the pulpit either. Their lives matched what they preached.
Absolutely. They went into the battlefield and they ministered to their congregants as they, you know, they fell on the field or they shouldered a musket if they needed to. These guys put their money where their mouth is. And I think we could use more religious leaders like that nowadays. Religious leaders that stand with those traditional values and principles instead of being as George Bush used to put it, a kinder, gentler nation. It's all good and well to be kinder and gentler, But I fear that unless we stand with the principles, we know we're there, we're going to lose them. I mean, it's like...
yeah, you're right about that.
Contention. It's not good. They say that, but stop and think about it. If Christ declared an unequivocal truth and somebody was violating, you have to say, no, wait a minute. I mean, you can't just say, well, you can have your opinion and you can change your sex if you want, or you can kill your baby before it's born or something. You have to say, no, wait a minute. These things are eternally important. And if they were declared by your Savior, I don't know as that injunction against contention goes across the board that much. I mean, I think
no,
we
it doesn't.
Have to stand.
And they made this point in general conference, at least over the weekend, too. They said, listen, you need to be kind and gentle and patient and forgiving and let people have their own agency and determine for themselves. However, that doesn't mean that you have to give up everything that you believe in and stand for and et cetera. They did make that point. Your point, though, is they need to be a lot more direct and clear about it and tie it to liberty, and I would love that as well. I guess part of it is, you know, when the church becomes not just a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the United States, that's its origins. But as it becomes a worldwide church, the question becomes, you know, how much of what do you discuss in terms of politics around the world? And, you know, that's where it kind of gets sticky. And the real question left with this is, hey, what hill are you going to die on? You know, what hill are you going to push the envelope on? And, you know, how do you stay out of that political windfall? And I'm not defending not standing for liberty. I'm just saying that it's a complicated matter, right? Hang tight. We'll be right back. Dr. Scott Bradley can respond. We're going to talk about the eclipse as well. We'll do it in seconds. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, we're talking about the semi-annual General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, full of all kinds of messages about God, family, and country. They didn't talk near as much about America as I would like and about the freedoms that we enjoy and about religious freedom, which really is the mother of all liberties, if you will. If you don't have religious liberty, you don't have any liberty at all. So Dr. Scott Bradley with me, his point is, hey, we need to talk more about this and help people really understand the link there. I completely agree. As a church, though, that's got more members out of the United States than it does inside the United States now, it gets kind of tough, though, because of the politics. If you're not very careful, you get kicked out of other countries or you get, you know, hey, this is just an American church trying to bully its way into other countries. And you know, the landscape is very tough around the world, Dr. Bradley, and so I'm not, I just don't know the best way to handle some of the discussions that they are do or don't have, you know?
Well, I'll say this about that. I think we can make God and religion so bland, so completely, it's unnoticeable. It's completely... it's lost its vigor, its strength, its activity. I mean, you look in what's going on in Red China. If you don't have state sanction there, your church can't be there. Now, let's just say that somebody says, okay, you tell us how we can talk about Christ in your country, and we'll talk about him that way. Well, our leader is who we'd like you to replace his name with, and our leader is the one that we look to for our guidance and our instruction, and our leader is the one that is the one that kind of helps us prosper in the country and everything. You know, I mean, this is one of those things that we can make a dilution to the point it's a pollution in my mind. And I fear that sometimes we overplay that card. See, America, as I said earlier, when we first started, we were held in such high regard. We became something different than what we once were. I mean, Americans were welcome everywhere. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the only church in the world that has made a contract with the modern state of Israel. It will not teach its doctrines in Israel as a missionary effort. Any other church can go out and do that kind of stuff. But you say, well, what kind of substance do we have left anymore if we're so willing to say we'll step back from our belief system? And I don't think you have to go in there and beat everybody about the head with an iron rod to say, you know, this is the way it's going to be. But to let the truths as you understand them be taught is quite a different thing. And I think America used to do that, and now we're kind of becoming bland and distracted, and we're not a light on the hill anymore. The principles found in the gospel of Jesus Christ are so essential to everybody that, you know, it's I think God will fight our battles for us if we stand with him. You look at Peter and John in the fifth chapter of Acts. We bring that up occasionally, where the powers that be said, hey, quit talking about that guy. We don't want you to even mention him again anymore. And they said, wait a minute, are we going to obey him or you? And I think that, you know, you make a point, Sam. I don't want to beat you up on this at all, really. In fact, it's a far cry from where I thought we were going this morning. But I think sometimes we need to recalibrate our expectation for what our real purpose is. And if a church is a church, it's a church. It has a doctrine. It has a belief system. And this idea of basically diluting it to the point that it no longer is anything it was supposed to be standing for, I think it's lost its savor. I think it's like the salt that needs to be cast out. And I don't want that to happen.
You know, you think about Jesus' life, and at first he started to do miracles, and he told people not to tell anybody. And, you know, you could say that's a way to spread the word even faster, but... you know, people said, why can't we, you know, tell everybody, why don't you get on that? Why don't we do it? And his response was, it isn't the right time. And I don't know the timing of everything. I am not a prophet. I'm just an average Joe. But I do know it's very, very tough. And how do you, you know, work through this and not alienate people and bring people together and focus on Christ? And it's a tough battle. So here's the question, Doctor, what would be the general contents of your speech if you had the chance to speak to 17 million people, whether they be people at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in a general conference or not? What message would you give? And then I'll tell you the message that I would give. And I can't give you my whole, everybody gets about 50 or 10 to 20 minutes to speak, depending on who they are, right? For example, the prophet, President Russell M. Nelson, literally gave, I think, more like a 15-minute talk. Maybe it was 20 minutes, but that's about it. The whole time. And so the question becomes, if you had 10 to 20 minutes, what would you speak on? And I realize this is on the fly, so you're not going to have your whole, you know, preparations done. But you can kind of say, you know, what topic would you take on? What topic would you find to be the most important? You know, we're told in the conference that, hey, you know what, they've thought long and hard. They've prayed long and hard to know what their messages should be. What would your message be? And I'll tell you what mine would be.
Well, I think my message would have to be Jesus Christ and him crucified. He is the Savior of the world, and we all can rely upon him. And I think of one of the shortest sermons ever given about or by him, it could even be, was what happened when he went back to his hometown after he first started his ministry, and he was handed the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter, when he sat in the synagogue. And people became aware. He wanted to comment. He wanted to make a commentary. And so they brought him the 61st chapter of Isaiah, and he read verses 1 and 2. And you can look at that in Luke chapter 4, and, of course, in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So he's reaching out to the different ones that are needy. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted," so there's a healing element, "to preach deliverance to the captives." There's a liberty movement in there. recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Oh, liberty again. Can you imagine? And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and said, this is upon you right now. Now, see, here's Christ. He went back into his hometown, and he preached to them hard doctrine. He did. He told them, hey, you know, I grew up here. I played in the fields and the dusty streets of Nazareth, and probably played with your kids, whatever. You know, we were good friends. But I'm the Messiah, and I'm here. And he didn't get a great reception. In fact, they were going to put him to death. And he said, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I really believe that a bold announcement, a strong and a faithful pronouncing of his truths is what's important. And I would hope I would have God's inspiration to do that, because of my own volition and my own wisdom, I'm sure I'd fall short. But I look to how the Savior did a lot of the things that he did, and I have to say, wow, he was pretty straightforward. Those people there knew exactly what his message was, and he didn't chew around the nibble around the edges or anything like that. He gave them the doctrine that would save them, and I would hope that we'd be willing to preach that. And it's all encompassing. We're talking about reaching out to the poor and the needy, the sick and the afflicted, and healing them. We're talking about liberating people, and truly his gospel does liberate people. And what we've got right now is captivity. I mean, this nation is falling into captivity, and largely the entire world has. If our nation falls, the whole nation is toast. I mean, the world is toast.
Yeah, you're right about that. I would say this. You know, it was all about timing, though. For the first years of his life, he fled from the wicked king, lived in relative obscurity. Egypt yep. and obscurity, pretty much. No one knew who he was. No one besides the birth, which, you know, it was noised about the land. The right people knew. The wrong people missed it, kind of a thing. And but yet then he lived there in Egypt for a long time. It wasn't till 30-plus years later that he said, okay, now it's time for me to, start my ministry. So it's all about timing. And then even in the ministry, he's like, hey, don't tell people yet. It's not my time. And so there was a timing of all these things, and how that timing works around the world for religion and the winding up scene as we wait for the Savior to return. I don't know, because I believe God can direct my life, but I don't believe that I have authority to speak, you know, for the nations or the peoples of the world and that kind of stuff. But my message would be a pro-life message. It would be on the birth of the Savior and how important and central his life is. And then I would focus on the resurrection of how important his life is. And I would talk about the pro-life understanding of the gospel, the true principles there, and how it needs to relate to peoples everywhere. And so, you know, I would speak about those things. Now, we look at the total eclipse, long-awaited total solar eclipse happens today. That's interesting, as people look to the skies. Well, that's what happened during the Savior's life and birth. People looked to the skies and saw a star. And so looking to the skies is very important to realize how on one hand minuscule and tiny we are compared to the universe and God's creations, but also to contemplate how important we are to God as his sons and daughters. You can get lost in that we're just tiny and we're nothing, but you can also get caught up in the grandeur of, if he's got that many creations, that much beauty, and that much in the heavens and in the vast expanse of the solar system and the universe and all these things, but yet I matter to him. It's that relationship with God and that pro-life view that I would have. When we come back, we're going to talk about Donald Trump speaking about abortion today. And we're going to talk about that, because my message will be a pro-life message and how we need to respect life everywhere in all stages of life. After all, isn't it about eternal life? Just wondering. All right, Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. The war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza has now crossed the six-month mark, with many hostages still in Hamas's hands, and still with many thousands of Palestinian civilians starving every day. USA's Laura Winters has more.
It's the result of the Hamas terrorist attack in Israel on October 7th, Hamas slaughtering more than 1,000 Jewish people, including Americans, at a music festival and at their homes.
Meantime, the Israeli military said it's withdrawing ground troops from the southern Gaza Strip. The IDF said Sunday its 98th Division is leaving the Strip to recuperate and prepare for future operations. Monday's solar eclipse might have been the reason for some busy traffic on U.S. interstates and highways. Federal Highway Administration estimating that as many as 5 million Americans would be traveling to sites within the event's path of totality. They advise it's probably best for travelers to stay at their solar eclipse destinations a little longer if they want to avoid the crowded highways heading home. The possibility of cloud cover, still a concern. USA's John Schaefer.
According to the latest information from the National Weather Service, individuals from Texas through Arkansas and potentially in Ohio, northwestern Pennsylvania, and western New York may experience obstacles in viewing the eclipse. Northern New England and the region stretching from southern Missouri to central Indiana have been identified as areas with the most favorable conditions for clear viewing.
The governor of Maryland says that he'll push to have the Port of Baltimore back open and operating by next month.
It is an aggressive timeline, but we are going to work around the clock to make sure that we hit this timeline.
Speaking on CBS Face the Nation, Governor Wes Moore said he's not quite sure how much it will cost. The governor plans to visit with lawmakers in Congress this week to consider more federal funding for reconstruction of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. This is USA News.
I'd like to introduce you to our new sponsor, Get the Tea. Get the Tea carries all natural, non-GMO organic teas and supplements made in the USA. Get the Tea's ingredients are the purest available. My favorite is Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a gentle daily cleanse containing 12 herbs that when combined really keep things moving. I drink it every day and my energy has never been better. I'm feeling great. Life Change Tea comes in three delicious flavors, natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. It's an easy and delicious way to keep your digestion on track. And for those on the go, try D365. D365 is Life Change Tea in a capsule. Drink the tea or take D365 capsules and keep your digestion running smoothly. Go to GetTheTea.com and enter discount code USA to get 10% off any size order. That's GetTheTea.com, discount code USA for 10% off your order.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit CSPOA.org today. The time to act is now. CSPOA.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, the question is, what speech would you give if you had a chance to talk to 17 million people? And, you know, 17 million people worldwide is not a very big number. I mean, I know it sounds like a lot, but it's, you know, relatively, it's kind of tiny. Donald Trump decided what he was going to speak about this weekend, and Monday he came out and spoke out big time regarding abortion. He's been promising he'd do that. Now he's speaking to, I don't know, in a way, the whole world, I guess, which is, what, 8 billion people. In the United States, it's like about 350 or 330-plus million people. It all depends. So, you know, a little bit larger audience, if you will. But nevertheless, the point is the same. I would speak on pro-life and on the Savior's life and how if we live our lives like the Savior and follow the Prince of Peace and keep his commandments, you know, all the different ailments that we face would go away. We would have religious liberty because people would be absolutely dedicated to following the Savior Jesus Christ. We would have self-governed individuals that kept the commandments, and you know, 90% of the laws that we have on the books could just flat out go away. And I would focus on, you know, the pro-life message of, look, his whole purpose was to offer us eternal life. And this life is a preparatory stage, if you will, for our eternal life. And because of the resurrection, all will live again. The question is that who do you want to live with eternally? Who do you want to live with after this life? Do you want to live with our Father in heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ? Well, if so, there's, you know, there's guidelines put forth by the Savior to be able to accomplish those things. And so I personally would talk about that. So anyway, there you have it. But Donald Trump says abortion should be left to the states. The states should decide abortion rules by vote or by legislation or perhaps both. We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. In general, I agree with his comments. There are some things he said I disagreed with. Here's his clip, then we'll talk about it.
Under my leadership, the Republican Party will always support the creation of strong, thriving, and healthy American families. We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America. Like the overwhelming majority of Americans, including the vast majority of Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and pro-life Americans, I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby. What could be more beautiful or better than that? Today, I'm pleased that the Alabama legislature has acted very quickly and passed legislation that preserves the availability of IVF in Alabama. They really did a great and fast job. The Republican Party should always be on the side of the miracle of life and the side of mothers, father, their beautiful babies, and that's what we are. IVF is an important part of that, and our great Republican Party will always be with you in your quest for the ultimate joy in life. Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is, the baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both. And whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people. I want to thank the six justices, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch, incredible people, for having the courage to allow this long-term, hard-fought battle to finally end. This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. It was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently, and very sadly, a nation in decline. Our nation needs help. It needs unity. It needs us all to work closely together. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, everyone, we have to work together. We have to bring our nation back from the brink, and that's where it is. It's at the brink, and we will. We will do it. I promise you, we will do it. Always go by your heart, but we must win. We have to win. We are a failing nation, but we can be a failing nation no longer. We will make our nation great. We will make our nation greater than ever before. Thank you very much.
All right, I've got my thoughts, Dr. Bradley, but let's let you have the first crack at this one.
Oh, well, I don't think there's time left in this hour, actually. He's covered so many different topics. First of all, I was really disappointed. He never, ever, not once, told people what IVF means. Now, of course, it means in vitro fertilization. But I just hate it when people use all of these acronyms. And, I mean, it's like they can mean so many different things. And I wish he'd have been more clear, brought more clarity to that. In vitro fertilization, okay? So, at any rate, yes, the decision on Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal government's hands, which it never should have been in there. And the nonsense that a nation can decide it's okay to kill our babies is absolutely diabolical. I absolutely am appalled that he's speaking for the voice of the people being able to completely decide this. What if everybody in the nation, what if 60%, what if 51%, 50% plus one, whatever, said, oh, no, there's no more ability to worship. Oh, no, there's no more right to keep and bear arms. Oh, no, there's no more a deal where you can make a law against killing a baby. What if 50% plus one said that? It's wrong. We're in a constitutional republic, and that protects the rights of the minority also. That's what's good about it. We are not a democracy, as so many people incorrectly assume and promote nowadays. And if the voice of the people chooses wrong, we are going to hell just as fast as if some black-robed judges had said it. In fact, probably more fast, because the people have chosen a diabolical path. So what we need to do is come to some baseline principles and make popular again these sound and good principles. I mean, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, these are God-given rights. And if you have the ability to kill your baby, it's kind of getting rid of that first one, this life thing. And I'm appalled to think that somehow we're going to make it down to a voice vote or a majority vote or whatever the heck they're going to do with this thing. And yes, it never should have been commandeered by the federal government. But so far right now, I think we're going to lose the abortion battle with at least 50% of the states deciding they want to do it. I think at least 50% of the states will say it's okay to chemically abort the baby, which will ultimately and finally result in more babies being killed than it was in the old days under going into a clinic. I think it's a real slippery slope, and I think we got to be really careful. We don't just toss it out there for people to vote on and we're done with it and everything's fine and we walk down the road merrily. I think we've got to teach correct principles so we can govern ourselves properly. And what's going on right now is a battle of media. It's a battle of political wills that this should never be thrown into that arena. We've got to stand with correct principles. You know, Alexis de Tocqueville, when he came to America and looked, he said, You know what? They don't have a law about everything. It's because the people have an internal compass that they guide their lives with. That compass is tied to God's will, his holy scriptures that he's revealed, and people understand. See, anciently they knew it was wrong to kill a baby before it was born, and throughout history. And it's just one of those challenges. We can't just let it go to chance. We've got to put a hard effort into this.
Amen to that. My thoughts in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. Come right back. Talk about it. Overall, are you pleased or disappointed with Donald's statements? Those are the things that you need to think about, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. This is a little crazy in America. These discussions are very difficult to have. And on one hand, I'm really pleased with Donald Trump standing up for pro-life. On the other hand, I have concerns about a lot of what he had to say. And the problem with that is I don't want to be too critical because he stood up for pro-life more than any other president we've had in modern times. And I commend him for that. However, I'm afraid that he's pushing us towards some very concerning viewpoints. For example, he highlighted the Republican Party, the Republican Party, the Republican Party. They have not been the leaders on pro-life, people. I hate to tell you that, but it's the truth. You could say, well, they're more pro-life than the Democrats. Okay, so one wants to kill a baby this way, the other one wants to kill a baby that way. But for 60 years, both parties pretty much said it's a done deal. We're going to murder babies in America. It was the leadership of Donald Trump and good, honest people throughout the years that eventually set the stage. Scientists that proved details about when life begins and everything else with ultrasounds and everything else. Heroes who stood up for pro-life have moved the needle slowly but surely eventually to where we have this now. The general government says, hey, we're not going to murder babies, and that's a good start. It's not enough. I don't believe it should be in the hands of the federal government either, but I do think Congress and the president, just like the president, you know, gave a pro-life message, I think Congress could create a resolution standing for pro-life and giving their support to the states. They don't have to make a law all the time. But as we're mentioning, this is being fought in the court of public opinion. I think we need to have a moral stand and say, look, this is not a Republican discussion. This is an American discussion. This is not a democracy. We have a constitutional republic. And in a constitutional republic, we focus on God's law. And God says clearly, thou shalt not kill. And so we as a country at all levels of government should be supporting that initiative. Doesn't mean we have to pass laws, doesn't mean we have to, but it does mean we can stand for what is right and teach people the truth so they can govern themselves. And so I appreciate a lot of what Donald said when he said there needs to be exceptions for rape and incest and the life of the mother. I agree with that personally. A lot of the pro-life people will beat me up for that and say you've already lost the battle, you've caved. I don't think so. I do think there are exceptions in very complicated situations, but what we don't want to do is have the exception become the ruler, have the exception create guidelines that you could drive a truck through, right? We need to be very careful indeed with that. However, it's really important to understand that we need to be pro-life at all levels of government. This IVF thing, you know, that's a big dividing factor as well. You know, a lot of pro-life folks are against it. They're like, look, that's playing God. I don't agree with that either. You know, I get that people want to have children desperately. I personally think there are better ways to go about that. I think you can adopt children. By the way, I'm an adopted child, so I know quite a bit about it. I come from a family of seven children, and every one of us are adopted because my father could not have children. So I get it, and I understand it's complicated, but we need to always lean on the side of life, lean on the side of welcoming children to the earth, lean on the side of thou shalt not kill, lean on the side of, you know, the Savior said, I am the truth, the life, and the way, or whatever. Okay, we need to look towards eternal life, and it starts with reverence for and respect for and appreciation regarding life now. So I think a lot could be done by the right people standing up in the right places for things. And even though Donald Trump's message, some of it I'm just a little hesitant about the way he went about it, but overall in general, I would say good for him. And just think if all the Republicans at least had as much guts as Donald did on the pro-life issue, where would we be today? Or Democrats or whoever. But I reject partisan politics entirely. The party's over, folks. It's about individually understanding the Savior's leadership in the pro-life message and what we need to do to back that leadership, regardless of party or creed or affiliation or anything else. So overall, I was pleased with Donald Trump's comments. A lot of the pro-life folks are disappointed in him, though, Doctor, because they claim he didn't go far enough. I get that point. But if we're not very careful, why are we attacking Donald? He stood up for pro-life more than almost anybody else. Is he holistic on it, perfect on it? Of course not. But he's better than 90+% by far. And he literally has the guts to say on the national stage, look, they're murdering babies after they're born. They're literally assassinating children. I mean, he blatantly said that. Most Republicans won't have the guts to even discuss that. They want to not talk about it because it might harm them at the ballot box. And at least Donald's not afraid of that either. So there's a lot of good there, Doctor. Not enough, but a lot. What do you say?
Well, it seems to me like he's trying to move the needle, and that's to be commended. I would go further even than what you've said so far. And I know you already feel this way, so I don't think I'm going to offend you by saying this, but I really believe that we don't define pro-life broadly enough. I think
pro-life
has to do with the entire spectrum of life.
And that's why I said from the very beginning to end before the last segment, it's like we kill the elderly among us too.
Absolutely. But it's not just that.
It's war. We can go on and on.
20-year-olds. We kill people all across the nations of the world. It's just not Americans. I mean, if in fact we bombed Iraq back into the Dark Ages and they say, oh, we killed a few thousand people. Okay, it's a few thousand. No, it was hundreds of thousands because of what is happening.
But even one life is precious, folks.
It is indeed. And when we say, when Lindsey Graham is saying, we've got to send some more Marines overseas to get killed, when you say what's going on in Gaza right now, yeah, they might have, by shrapnel and explosive devices and all that kind of stuff, killed 35 or 40,000 people. You have killed hundreds of thousands of people because you've put them in a starvation mode. You've ruined sanitation. Hospitalization's almost impossible. Clean water can't even be found. Sewage is everywhere. And the more vulnerable of everybody, from the very youngest to the very oldest, are dying. And when you say pro-life, I know, Sam, you agree with this, and so I'm just trying to make a point that we sometimes so narrowly define this that it's, we in the womb, forget it. No, in the womb, years after, decades after, life is sacred, and this idea that we can make nuanced law with this stuff. Sometimes we strain at gnats and swallow camels, to use that old scriptural phrase. And there's an old kind of an adage in politics, the hard cases make bad law. And so people try and say, oh, but what if and what if and what if? And you say, well, we've got so many exceptions or so many guidelines or so many things. What if we started just following God's program of thou shalt not kill? And we use that as a general approach to how we do everything. And I think we'd be a lot better off if we took his social skills and equated them across the nations of the world. But so I think pro-life, really, more Republicans are probably pro-death because of their war mentality than we ever point out. And killing somebody's killing somebody. Dead is dead. And if you did it with an M16
round, hold on,
and
evil is evil.
Right, exactly.
So you're right. It's a whole life thing. It's euthanasia for the elderly. It's how we, you know, deal with life. It relates to COVID. It relates to war. It relates to, I mean, the list just goes on and on and on and on. And we need to have a view of pro-life. And I appreciate President Trump or former President Trump trying to move the needle. And I get that if you go too far, sometimes you lose a lot of people. You got to kind of educate a little bit at a time, incrementally move forward what we need. But I'm telling you, Donald's far from perfect, but he's done more for pro-life than any president in modern times. Do you agree with that?
I think it's probably true. Yeah, I would. I certainly don't think. I mean, I look at our own legislature. I mean, you're talking about president, fine. But I look at we're from Utah.
Yeah, so they're disgraced. They've done nothing. They should have doubled down and backed Donald Trump on this stuff. And that's my point with the pro-life movement. They're beating up Donald over IVF, and they're beating up because he said, oh, we got to have exceptions for rape and incest and the life of the mother. And now the pro-life movement's all divided against President Trump on this thing. And I just think, is that a wise move? I get the concerns, and it's fine to highlight them. But at the end of the day, are we really going to beat up Donald of all people? It reminds me how Romney beats up Trump but leaves the Democrats alone. It's like, at what point are we doing more damage to our movement by the divisions, Doctor?
Well, I think that that's kind of a Marxist approach we've talked about, the divide and conquer. That's the way we do it all the time. But to say you're pro-life and then, I mean, they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, to use that phraseology from the scriptures also. A lot of times, I mean, I wrote an editorial that got some real blowback on a lot of people and the Republican, genre of politics, where I was extremely critical about the ducking and dodging that happens. I mean, I look at sometimes, you know, the Deep South, some of these Bible Belt states were Mississippi, Alabama, and they say, whoa, 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 baby, we're going to take some steps to protect the babies. Of course, we ought to be protecting them. I mean, Lindsey Graham in his state is known as a pro-life guy, but he's a pro-death guy when you look at the holistic approach of it. We've got to say, this is how we believe, and it applies all across the board. And if the legislature completely avoids the topic, saying, no, we don't want to take it.
It's time to elect people who will make it a central
but
issue.
But that's the thing with churches, too, though, Sam. We'll end where we started.
That's right. Agreed, 100%.
If churches nibble around the edges and don't ever take a stand, what good are they? Neither hot nor cold. God's going to spew them out of his mouth. And that's what politicians need, and I think some church leaders need it, too, sadly. Anyway, it sounds like we're at the end of
many
the hour.
Many of the politicians don't want to deal with abortion because they're afraid at the polls that that'll be the losing streak. I don't agree with that at all. Donald Trump at least has the guts to double down and then say, make sure you vote like that, because the balance of what happens is we the people. And I don't believe in the democracy side of these things, but I do agree with it. We cannot run away from that because of the ballot box. Elections are not more important than pro-life. Let's get it straight. All right, cartels coming up. They're stealing our land, and it's a big, big problem on the border. I'll tell you about it next hour. God save the Republic.